Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
These negotiations will be on C-SPAN, and so the public will be part of the conversation and will see the choices that are being made.
Not negotiating behind closed doors, but bringing all parties together and broadcasting those negotiations on C-SPAN so that the American people can see what the choices are.
We'll have the negotiation.
Question on health care. C-SPAN television is requesting leaders of Congress to open up the debate to their cameras, and I know this is something that the president talked about on the campaign trail. Is this something that he supports, will be pushing for?
I have not seen that letter. I know the president's going to begin some discussions later today on health care in order to try to iron out the differences that remain between the House and the Senate bill and try to get something hopefully to his desk quite quickly. Helen?
Helen, of course, that's inimitable press spokesmouth Robert Gibbs. Now, last night, I did comparison shopping after the show, and I tried various brands of bottled gefilte fish to see which brand of fish most approximated Robert Gibbs. And by far, the Manischewitz gold-labeled gelled gefilte fish wins scales down with 2 carrots for eyes and a pimento nose. Poof, you've got a magic press spokesmouth named Robert Gibbs. Now, if any of you have tried other brands of gefilte fish and put carrot eyes and pimento noses on them, and you think you've done a better effigy of Robert Gibbs, please give me a call at 1-800-449-8255. This is the Savage Nation. Being comedic in the political arena is the only refuge. In fact, it's the best revenge. They used to say that living well is the best revenge. I would say that being comedic in the political arena is the best revenge. Well, there it is. You have a president who's a naked, bald-faced liar. He got caught. Breitbart got all of the sound bites of him lying to us. You're shocked that Obama's a liar? Duh. Everything about him is fake and a lie. Not only what he says, but who he is and where he comes from and what he stands for and which side he's on. The man said that the healthcare debate would be crystal clear and on C-SPAN. Even the weasel who runs C-SPAN, Robert Lamb, who I have no respect for whatsoever, even he understands what's at stake and said to Obama, Mr. President, you promised. And of course, Mr. President said, you know, take it and shove it. You know, that's the story we're living in here. We're living in a banana republic right now. I wouldn't even call it a banana republic. We have incompetence at every level of the government. We have liars at every level of the government. We have traitors at every level of the government. We have interns who are deep sleepers from Islamofascist regimes at every level of the government. And you wonder why they're soft on terrorism. You wonder why your grandmother is being frisked at the airport instead of Islamofascists. You wonder why a baby's diapers are being looked at instead of the diapers of the diaper bombers from Nigeria. I want to read you an email from a very important friend of mine. He's also an advertiser, the most, I would say, the oldest advertiser I have on the Savage Nation. I don't know if I should mention his name, but his product is great. I'm not doing it because he's an advertiser, but I want to read you an email. He and I communicate on a regular basis. He had sent me an email last night saying, Michael Savage, good to hear you're back in sicko land, Frisco. He said, Florida is nice, but SF is home. I tuned in last night, and you could sense the joy in your spirit. It was a great blessing to your fans. And the short time I listened was awesome. Hope is all well with you. Give my love at home. And I wrote back, and I said, was thinking of calling you. Yes, all is well. He said, truth be told, you have the effect on many more people than you think. Last night was special, Michael. You shared a side of Savage that was really intriguing. The greatest part about it was its authenticity. You didn't even know you were doing it. It was just who you are. I've told you many times before, Michael, you have been chosen for such a time as this. Many are called, but few are chosen. I know being chosen comes at a cost, but if not you, who? If not when, when? The history books will record you in this time period as a very important and influential person, and because you don't exploit that to your advantage, shows the greatness of your character. Great men never know they are making history when it is occurring. They are too focused on the task and battle at hand. That is you. Well, I wouldn't go that far, but I'm reading it because I hope to God there's some truth in it with regard to standing here with a lamp trying to bring some light to a dark world. They say that those who light a candle in the dark instead of cursing it do a greater job or something to that effect. Don't curse the darkness. Light a candle in the darkness is what they say. And that's what I try to do here in the Savage Nation. There are many news stories out there, many things to talk about, and we can talk about them by calling 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. I think we'll start with the biggest news of the day, which is that Obama promised during the campaign on at least seven occasions to make certain that the healthcare debate would be in the open. Remember, he said he'd have the most transparent administration in history. Well, we found out that under Nancy Pelosi, it is a despotic, dark administration. It is despotic, it is dark, it is un-American. It is a backwater administration, something you would have found in another nation at another time. It's almost like Mussolini's fascist Italy in the making here. We have eight clips of Obama promising televised health care talks, and now, of course, Pelosi and Rita saying nothing doing. We will do it in the dark. Good news out of Connecticut. Senator Chris Dudd is resigning. He will not run again. Now you say, well, gee, that's very noble of him. The reason Senator Chris Dudd is not going to run again in Connecticut is not because he's so noble, but the polls have shown him that the people know that he's a useless, corrupt, graft-ridden senator, in their opinion, and he can't win. And the reason the Dems have said to him, don't run again, is not because they're so majestic. It's that they know the Republican is liable to win the Senate seat, so they're going to run a more moderate, more popular, less corrupt Democrat attorney general in Connecticut to take over Senator Dudd's seat. This is happening at the same time that Senator Byron Dorgan of North Dakota is stepping down, owing for the same reasons. The people have had enough of them, you know. Now, here's another story on michaelsavage.com that you got to see. Inspector General of the DHS. Now, here's the Inspector General. He's not a Republican. It's the Inspector General of the Department of Homeland Security says that the DHS can't do its job. They said the Department of Homeland Security is functional only in name. And Napolitano holds on to her job. The woman couldn't be a mall cop. If she came at you with a club as a mall cop, would you be afraid of her? Now, what if you're a diaper bomber? You'd be laughing all the way to the airport. It's astounding what's going on in this country. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Houston, Texas. Tom, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, Michael. I want you to know that you are what makes America great. There may be some great Americans, but you make America great, and I appreciate everything you do. I'd like to also make a quick comment. My mother, God rest her soul, loved your... She was from Mount Vernon, New York, and lived in Houston. Mm-hmm. And she loved your stories about New York. It always thrilled her heart.
You know, everybody loves the stories, and I know there's a commonality in it. All races and all religions have stories about their childhood, but I think that what unites the listenership most about my stories, even those who don't like my politics, is the fact that they're from the heart, and stories that are true and from the heart generally ring true.
Felt, Michael, that's the key right there, and I respect your honesty and your integrity, and God bless you.
Well, thank you. That's all a man needs to say to another man. What more does a man need to hear? 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Here's another one that's a little odd. The governor of Idaho says that God's help is needed to save the Constitution. He must be listening to the Savage Nation, because I've said the very same words, and I said it last October, November. To think that we can save the Constitution without God's help when the government of the United States is corrupt is absurdity, said the governor of Idaho. Can you believe this? They all know it. I mean, many people understand how close we are to losing our constitutional rights. When you have a Mussolini in a skirt like Nancy Pelosi, one of the most despotic women in the history of the world, who is now railroading a pork barrel bill through the Congress without the approval of the people. When you have Islamofascism on the march in America and around the world, and you have an administration either looking the other way or aiding and abetting, you have to understand the trouble this great republic is in. That's my opinion. You have to understand this. And it's going to get worse before it gets better. Believe me, we're not near the end of this. Now, here's one from Europe. The Cardinal of Czechoslovakia warns that Muslims are conquering Europe. Did you hear me? Cardinal Miloslav Vlik has warned in an interview, quote, that if Europe doesn't change its relation to its own roots, it will be Islamicized. Many people understand that we are facing the same threats that our antecedents faced with Nazism with regard to Islamofascism. You've got these people in Europe who are screaming, take over the world, bring in Sharia law, overthrow this, overthrow that. Europe is the cancer, Islam is the answer. I have the pictures of them right here on michaelsavage.com. I have to repeat, I guess, the mantra that most Muslims are as much afraid of them as non-Muslims, and that's true. But that doesn't do us any good. It doesn't do us any good at all. Cardinal Miloslav Vlik has warned that, quote, if Europe doesn't change its relation to its own roots, it will be Islamicized. Now, that's an interesting story unto itself. I'll be right back.
Savage.
All right, let's forget politics already. We know how bad things are. They're going to get worse. Now let's move on to having fun. I mean, I was away for almost, for me, the longest trip I've had almost in my entire adult life. I hate traveling. 3 nights is the most I could be away from my own bed. Now, admittedly, I move around in my hometown. I have 4 or 5 places, 4 or 5 studios. I'm rarely in one place more than 1 night at a time, for whatever reason you can figure out. There was some Christmas presents waiting for me when I got back that I just opened. And my favorite was from a friend of ours, Irene, the dog care person. Irene gave me a life hammer, the original emergency tool. I hope I never need it. I mean, cut seat belts and break auto glass. Just what I always wanted, Irene. Thank you. I never heard of such a thing. You mean if you go into like a ditch with water? Powerful double steel tip, hammerheads, razor, safety blade for cutting a seat belt. And you can break a window open. I mean, all right. You know, it's wonderful. I'll take it on my next airplane flight. How about that? I'll put on a robe. I'll tell him I'm from Nigeria and I have no passport. And my life hammer is part of my religion. How's that? Will they let me on the plane, do you think? Phil, will they let me on the plane with it if I put on a robe and say I'm from Nigeria? I'm sure that the DHS will check a manual unless they have to let me on the plane with a life hammer. Okay, some ethnic humor, if that's not good enough. Here's ethnic humor. 4 Jewish brothers left home for college, and eventually they became successful doctors and lawyers and prospered. Some years later, they chatted after having dinner together. They discussed the gifts that they were able to give to their elderly mother who lived far away in another city. The first brother said, I had a big house built for Mama. The second said, I had a $100,000 theater built in the house. The third said, I had my Mercedes deal to deliver an SL600 with a chauffeur. The fourth brother said, listen to this. You know how Mama loved reading the Torah, and you know she can't anymore because she can't see very well. I met this rabbi who told me about a parrot that can recite the entire Torah. It took 20 rabbis 12 years to teach the parrot. I had to pledge to contribute $100,000 a year for 20 years to the temple, but it was worth it. Mama just has to name the chapter and verse, and the parrot will recite it. The other brothers were impressed. After the holidays, Mama sent out her thank you notes. She wrote, Milton, the house you built is so huge, I live in only one room, but I have to clean the whole house. Thanks anyway. Marvin, my wonderful son, I'm too old to travel. I stay home. I have my groceries delivered, so I never use the Mercedes, and the driver you hired is a Nazi. The thought was good, though. Thanks. My other son, Maham, you gave me an expensive theater with Dolby Sound. It could hold 50 people, but all my friends are dead. I've lost my hearing, and I'm nearly blind. I'll never use it. Thank you for the gesture just the same. Dearest Melvin, you were the only son to have the good sense to give a little thought to your gift. The chicken was delicious. Well, I'm not into these canned jokes, but, you know, once in a while I got it by email. I thought it was funny. It's so typical. You know, I used to hear this as a red shirt, blue shirt mother. Did you ever hear the red shirt, blue shirt mother? This is a simple version. It applies to any ethnic mother from the Mediterranean. The mother gives a son a shirt. Or is it the other way around? The mother gives the son... the mother gives the son two shirts. Let's say it's an Italian mother. So she gives Lorenzo two shirts. She comes to his house and he's wearing the red shirt. So she says to him, what's wrong with the blue shirt? You get the joke? In other words, no matter what Lorenzo did, the mother would say something is wrong. And I don't know what it is. There's a certain generation of mothers who like to pick on their sons. They think they're doing them a favor. You know, I mean, what are you going to do? I was at lunch with a friend of mine today. And we were talking. I had some Indian food in a buffet. And we come down. You know, it's funny what friendship is. I'm a loner, generally alone. And it's funny when you're alone, if you're contained in your own thoughts, the world feels a certain way. But after a lunch with a friend where you talk and share everything, like when you're kids again, walking down the escalator at the place, I felt 10 times bigger. I didn't even have a drink. I drank a Diet Coke. So I said to him, you know, I said, it's amazing how friendship changes the spheric atmosphere of a place. It makes you feel differently. He said, it is. I said, how do you define friendship? He said, well, Michael, how do you define friendship? I said, I would define friendship as someone you have a bond with who you trust 100% emotionally and financially. He said, you know, I never heard that. He said, that's a perfect way to define a friend. How would you define a friend? I mean, I don't know. You know, like I define a nation by its borders, language, and culture. Nobody has beat me on that definition. I've never read a better definition. I never saw one written, ever. A nation is defined by its borders, language, culture. By that definition, our politicians are fighting against our nation. They're working for the enemies of America. Am I right or wrong? They're breaking the borders. They're breaking the language. They've destroyed the culture. They're not our friends. They're not our representatives.
Savage.
I love the Associated Press. It's so disgusting. It's Nigerian man. No connection to Muslim or Islam, nothing. Nigerian man, just an ordinary man from Nigeria. No one indoctrinated and brainwashed with radical Islam. Nigerian man. See, with people like this in the media, the enemy doesn't need any help. They get by with a little help from their friends in Associated Press. It's unbelievable to me how they get away with it. Nigerian man indicted in plot to blow up plane. No wonder the girls wind up the way they are in this country. Do I have to spell it out? It's always the women, by the way, that shape a nation. Men are always wayward and, you know, by and large, men are wayward. Women are the homemakers. Women have to want to get married. Women have to make the family. Women have to make the home. Women have to create the whole structure. And look at the role models, what you have here. The celebo sluts like the Hilton sisters, they're held up as role models. Every one of them switch hitters and psychos and drug users. I mean, wherever you look, drugs and switch hitting and puking on themselves in a nightclub. Who's putting these images out? The media. The media is who destroyed America. Make no mistake about it. So what are you going to do about it? Create a government-controlled media? Yeah, that's going to be better. So here we are. I'm glad that I have a forum and I have a microphone and I can, you know, tell you like it is the way I see it. But then again, it's one man's opinion. I mean, you know, that's all it is one man's opinion. I'm an older guy. I admit it. Maybe I'm a throwback. Maybe I'm out of touch with America. Maybe I don't see it the way America should be seeing things, you know, diversity. And after all, I said diversity is perversity a long time ago. Of course, I was right, but it doesn't mean I should still see it that way. I mean, that could be illegal for all I know. I was against illegal immigration from 1994. I started sounding the alarm like Paul Revere. They call me every name under the sun. Protested. You name it. Banned me from Britain. All because I said it like it is. The crotch bomber was allowed in and out of England. Me, Michael Savage, conservative talk radio host, banned in Britain. That's right. So there it is. Well, I'm not complaining. I'm not crying about it. That's all there is to it. Worst things that could happen to you. People get sick overnight. While they're talking, they die of a heart attack. Horrible. I was re-watching. I think I'm going to stop. I haven't had a nightmare in a month. I didn't have nightmares for a month while I was away. I'd listen to the ocean every night with the windows open. I'd sleep like a baby, you know, with that whooshing sound. The minute I come back, already nightmares, axes, knives. I don't know whether maybe I started watching TV again. I think it's the TV. I watched the rerun of The Sopranos. I got so bored again last night, which I didn't do because I couldn't get it. It's so complicated, the television in Florida. I couldn't even get a rerun of The Sopranos, thank God. I get home, I can get it right away, and I work the TV. And in Florida, I'm in a smart house. I never saw anything as complicated in my life. I really don't like smart houses. In the middle of the night, in order to go to the bathroom, you need a magnifying glass and a flashlight to hit the right button on a smart house to turn a light on. I never saw anything like it. I'm the only guy in the world who has a smart house. I went out and bought 6 cheap lamps in Target and placed them on the floor of various parts of the house. I could click on, like with a switch on it, plugged it into a... How could you find it in the middle of the night, a smart switch? So expensive, too. TV, very complicated. Blu-ray, Pink-ray, I can't find anything. I feel like I'm in a nursing home. I need someone to do it for me. I get home, I can work it. All right, so I turn on Sopranos. My luck, I watched the segment where one of the rats in the car is divulging information to an FBI guy. He's an informer. And as he's talking, he gives a tape that he recorded with a wire to one of the FBI guys. And he says to him, well, here we got Tony Soprano talking about the murder of blank. And although it's gobbled, I could testify in court and hold and support it. And he stops talking and dies. I don't want to watch a heart attack like that. They're fun to watch, but when you know, when you had ancestors who died that way, it's not pleasant. So there's a wonder about, like, where does it happen? Forget it. I don't even want to go there. I don't want to go there. You know, people get sick, they die. What are you going to do? It's the way of all flesh. But when you see a nation dying, it's hard to watch. It's like watching an elephant go down and dying slowly under Obama. Sometimes I feel like America's been sent a shot with an elephant gun by Obama and the people behind him. He was the magic bullet to bring us down. And I hear the elephant roaring. It's on its front legs. And it's trying to hold on, but it's going down. I mean, really, I get heartbreaking images. I don't know how to control them sometimes. This guy is like a bullet that was shot into the heart of the country. The man is wrecking everything. He's nationalized the banks. He's nationalized the insurance industry. He's tried to nationalize the auto industry. He's trying to nationalize the healthcare industry. And when he gets through wrecking all of these free enterprise systems, he wants to grant amnesty to 30 million illegal aliens. And then he wants to impose a universal tax on everyone under the scam called cap and trade based on the fallacious theory of global warming. The man is the silver bullet of the enemies of America, in my opinion. Don't call me about it because I'm not going to argue with you. I know I'm right. Monterey, California. John, you're on the Savage Nation.
Wow, Michael, I've been sitting here listening to you on the phone for the last 40 minutes or so, and I'm just amazed at your analysis. And I just have never agreed with anyone more in my life than the things that come out of your mouth. It's just amazing, and I want to thank you for what I would say brilliant radio, not average radio, brilliant radio, and I thank you for that.
Well, that's nice to hear once in a while. So what's on your mind?
The way you weave the humor into it is what keeps me as a listener and a book reader. I never laughed so hard in my life as when I read your first book, Savage Nation. I mean, I couldn't stop laughing, even though the subjects were serious. It blew me away.
Well, right. It's called tragicomedy.
Yeah. And, you know, you and I have a lot in common as well. We both spent our youth in New York and the latter part of our life here in California. I know you went to Berkeley. I'm living down here in the Santa Cruz, Monterey area, which is extremely liberal.
Oh, my God. That's where the women with mustaches come from.
I'm sorry?
That's where the women with mustaches come from.
Yeah, they actually have a lesbian...
Let's not go there. All right, let's go past that. No, I know it's a crazy area. UC Santa Cruz is perhaps one of the most useless universities in the world.
Very liberal area, as you well know. And what I have found is the...
It's not liberal, it's fascistic. It's not liberal. When you say liberal, you get the impression that, oh, anything goes, live and let live. You know, I got to tell you something. I was away for almost a month in Florida. And you got all sorts of races and all sorts of sexual orientations in Florida. But everyone does what they want, and they leave you alone. The minute you come back to California, it's like going into a prison camp. It's like stepping back into a prison camp. There is no diversity of opinion permitted. There is no diversity of the newspapers. There's no diversity of the broadcasters. It's like living in a prison camp in San Francisco. The people are terrified to say a word.
How it is here. It's identical, because I'm just 70 miles down the coast from you. And I've even tried to talk to people about the Founding Fathers, about the Federalist Papers, so they would understand the...
Oh, please, let's not go there. Come on, that's like false teeth. So what's on your mind tonight?
My mind is that, you know, I know a lot of conservatives that live in liberal areas or like you said, fascistic areas, and we have to be very careful that we could even lose our jobs. I mean, they always focus on the negative stuff about this country, and it's very hard for conservative people to hear that stuff and not respond. And sometimes
it's hard to take it. It's hard to take it, all this anti-Americanism from these louts.
It's just
All right. Stand up and speak out. I can't help you with it. Get a copy of my book and give it to them. Then you really lose your job. 1-800-449-8255. Sean in Indiana, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, you previously said that you thought that women, shaped the culture and shaped where we were going. But I think as a general statement about humanity, it's absolutely incorrect, and that men have that responsibility, and that when a man doesn't participate in that responsibility and take ownership of it, then when women step up into that role, this is what you get. I don't mean it to say that women can't do it.
No. I guess you didn't hear what I said. The role models for young women in America are basically drunken, wanton sluts, courtesy of the degenerate media. And as a result, fewer and fewer women are getting married. I mean, I think that men generally are basically wayward by nature, and it takes a woman I don't want to use the word civilize, but to almost housebreak a man. And the women don't do it anymore. They don't want it. They want to act like men. They want to have free and wild times. They want to be like men and act like men, thanks to the women's movement, thanks to louts like Bella Abzug and the other vermin who created the women's movement. You have a completely debased American society. The whole West is collapsing. When women behave like men, what you wind up with is pictures that you saw coming out of London of the girls laying in the snow drunk in high heels on a snow-ridden morning. That's what that's the end line of women's liberation. There they are. They're having a wonderful time drinking in a bar like the men. And there they are in the gutter. Instead of staying home and having children, there they are puking on themselves in the gutter. That's England today. That's women's liberation. That's all. No point in arguing it. I'm right. What's the point of arguing? Why am I getting all these callers like from in the middle of nowhere? What happened to the big cities? Were they stopped listening? I don't know. Or maybe they stopped. I don't know. Was there a game on? What month of the year is this? January? There's no games. Ice hockey. Where's Al Gore? Every time it snows, the man is like a groundhog. He disappears. Probably running his generator in Tennessee to make sure he stays warm while the other people's houses go down. How do so many scam artists get away with it at any time? Did anyone ever use a life hammer? Anyone ever have a need for a life hammer? I don't even know where to keep it in the car. Thanks, Ari. Nice gift. Life hammer. Cut seat belts and break auto glass. This is the perfect gift for the Islamo-fascist in your life. There's a thing about the life hammer. And I'm the way the TSA is working today, I can guarantee you that a visitor from Nigeria could get on a plane with a life hammer if only he said that it was part of his religion. The genius is a TSA. All right, I made my point. I don't know what you want to talk about. More return to fight after leaving Gitmo. Duh. Everyone knows that. Release them from Guantanamo. No, they're going to open up a camel burger stand in Iraq. That's what they do for a living, is they kill infidels. So, schmuck, when you release them from Guantanamo, they're not going to go into a jobs training course in Los Angeles to go back to their homeland and open up a camel burger stand. They're going to go back to what they do for a living, which is training to kill you, you schmuck morons, you liberal. Abrupt Democratic retirement show tough landscape. What do you think they're retiring? Everyone hates them. CIA attack a blow but won't stop the anti-terror hunt. Nah, really, great job you're doing. Yeah, consult the manuals on how to approach an Islamo-fascist and call home before you do anything. Anti-whaling boat damaged during protest at sea. Screw them. First of all, I'm against whaling. Let's start with that. But I'm also against the anti-whalers. I don't know. How do you explain that? I'm anti-whaling, but I'm anti-whaling people. And I'll tell you why. In other words, pass a law which outlaws whaling. That's all, if you have a sympathy for the whale. But I don't like the renegades in the anti-whaling boats. They're self-righteous liberal frauds, most of them, I found. They're troublemakers, basically. They should go into the military and, you know, volunteer on the front lines instead of attacking Japanese whale boats. I have a mixed feeling about the anti-whalers. I don't know how I explain it. I don't look up to them. I don't think that they're great heroes. I mean, I don't like seeing whales getting killed. I mean, I don't eat them. The Japanese seem to love whale. Why, I don't know. I mean, when one race likes gefilte fish, another race likes a whale. Gefilte fish in a jar. Whale in a jar. I wouldn't eat whale. I don't eat endangered species. I don't eat endangered species at all. There's no news out there. It's like I'm groping. I can see already. There's nothing. There's nothing there. You know already what's going on. What's the one going to bash Obama? You know who he is already. Everyone, no one takes him seriously. Everyone knows he's a fraud. Everything he says, they laugh at him. Oh, there he is again. nudists steamed over sea lion carcass on beach. What's this story? I'll do stupid news now. Not one caller from a major city. I don't know what's going on here. Let's see this. San Clemente, California. Some Orange County nudists are fuming over the burial of a rotting sea lion carcass on the San Onofre Beach. The naturist said Tuesday that state parks officials buried the animal on the beach near Trail 6, which used to be clothing optional until officials cracked down in 2000. Clothing optional. Bunch of pervert deviants. I knew a guy who used to go to a nude beach here in Marin County. A deviant. A sick person. I hated him. I met him for a while. Oh. He used to go and go to Western Marin and walk to a beach over a mountain. Nudists, clothing optional, a deviant. I mean, of course, in those days, there was no internet porn, so you had to climb over a mountain to see it. How do women go to those beaches? I mean, you know, you got to think about it. I don't mean to be, you know, really low here, but what do you mean nude beach, clothing optional? Who lays in a beach with strangers unless they're sick in the head? I mean, you know, let's talk about that for a minute. You know, it's one thing to love sex and love your body. It's another thing to walk around naked on a beach like, oh, yeah. I remember those days. The guys would go on the beach. They'd make believe they weren't looking at the girls' private parts. They'd start talking with them. They'd have their arms crossed. Oh, yeah, just like a regular conversation. They'd watch her eyes they'd see the minute the eye blinked, they'd take a quick look down. And they'd see, right back in the straight in the eye, yeah, staring her right in the eye. Oh, I'm not here for any sexual. No, I just like to walk around, you know, on a beach. It's great being with God and like that, looking in the eye. The minute the girl would, sneeze, gulp comes in the eye. Ah, come on, ladies. Don't you know who these guys are? What do you think? There's so many rapes. And did I run out of time already here? I'm into a break now on the Savage Nation. All right, if you'd rather not talk about nudists steamed over sea lion carcasses, give me a ring. I'll be back. Savage. Here's some breaking news that we just got out of Portland, Oregon. Unruly passenger forces plane back to airport. KGW-TV reports that an unruly passenger forced a Maui-bound Hawaiian Airlines plane to return to the Portland International Airport. KGW's website reports that officials with the Portland Air National Guard base said at 1 p.m. two fighter jets escorted the plane. What? Hawaiian Airlines said the situation was not security-related? That's absurd. Flight 39 was 1.5 hours into its direct flight when the captain turned the plane around, citing issues with a suspicious passenger who allegedly made threatening remarks and refused to store his carry-on bag. Well, but why the jets escorting the plane? Well, what is that? What the hell is going on in this country? Here's another one. Publishers dumbfounded by airplane book ban. Magazines and books are among banned carry-on items for U.S.-bound flights from Canada. You hear this? Can't carry a book now on a plane. I don't know what to say anymore. I would say just do some racial profiling, do national profiling, whatever you have to do. What kind of sanity does this take? How stupid do you have to be to turn a country upside down when you know who to look for? You know who to look for. Stop lying to yourselves already. It's not an Irish nun. Putz has run everything. Not one man with the guts and the brains to get up there and say, okay, I'm cleaning house. Here's what I'm doing. We're stopping this crap. We're not harassing all of America. We're going to look at certain people from certain countries in certain ways. And if you don't like it, then don't fly. Okay, fly on your own airline. Or get the hell out of our country. And you can take the ACLU with you because they're on our list. They're on our watch list. Okay, they're un-American. They work for the enemy. They'll kill us all. And you don't like it? Take them with you. That's what we need in this country, is a real leader instead of these milquetoast liars. Albany, New York. John, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Mr. Savage, I just wanted to ask you if you think that this love fest that the media has with Obama is finally starting to come to an end now in these last few months, and if they're going to start to finally call him out on all of these shady things.
Well, I don't know. When you got a little man like Brian Lamb, when even he's speaking out, it seems to me something's going on.
Yeah. Do you think maybe it was sour grapes was the reason he was speaking out, or do you think this might
maybe be he wasn't invited to the party there, the Christmas party?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Negotiations will be on C-SPAN. And so the public will be part of the conversation and will see the choices that are being made.
Not negotiating behind closed doors, but bringing all parties together and broadcasting those negotiations on C-SPAN so that the American people can see what the choices are.
We'll have the negotiations televised on C-SPAN so that people can see who is making arguments on behalf of their constituents. And who are making arguments on behalf of the drug companies or the insurance companies?
We will work on this process publicly. It'll be on C-SPAN. It will be streaming over the net.
We're going to do all these negotiations on C-SPAN. So the American people will be able to watch these negotiations.
And we will have a public process for forming this plan. It'll be televised on C-SPAN. I can't guarantee it'll be exciting, so not everybody is going to be watching.
But I want the negotiations to be taking place on C-SPAN.
All this will be done on C-SPAN, in front of the public.
And one of my jobs as the president will be to guide this process so that it's an honest process.
Well, that's Obama lying repeatedly during the campaign, and many of you were duped by him. Drudge has it right. Six times, eight times he lied. You know, it's getting very, very bad in this country. The man is the liar-in-chief, L-I-C, not the commander-in-chief. He's the liar-in-chief. So, what are you going to do about it? Oh, yeah, you'll throw them out in 2010. Big hope you have. Who knows if there'll be anything left by then? Then what, you have to spend 5 years reversing what these gangsters did? I'm proud to tell you I am not alone. As you well know, I am still banned in Britain. Many of you don't know this, but I'm still not permitted to travel to Britain. And you know what? Good riddance. You say, well, where does a badge of honor? Oh, up to a certain point, I can accept that attitude. Screw them. They don't deserve me. That's how I look at it. I'm still fighting to get my name off the list for obvious reasons. There's a great danger in being banned from a foreign nation, particularly a nation that permits the underwear bomber from Nigeria to travel through freely, and people who openly call for the overthrow of England to collect welfare, have babies, and run around Hyde Park. That's no problem for the Brits. But a man who believes in borders, language, and culture, oh, can't have him. Well, I'm not alone. Israeli veterans canceled UK trip on arrest fear. Israeli veterans were invited to England by the British military. Scheduled visit. They wanted to go to England. They were invited by the British Army. Delegation of Israeli military officials invited by the British Army. The men sought a guarantee from London that they would not face arrest during their trip, but they didn't get a satisfactory answer. They canceled their trip altogether. Now, you can't believe it, but these are soldiers who fought to defend their nation from being overrun by the Islamofascists from the Gaza Strip, by Hamas, by Hezbollah. Now they're being targeted by the vermin in England, the liberal vermin in England, as war criminals. So you say, well, what does that have to do with me? It has to do with you. It has to do with you is that the liberals in this country are the same. If they could, they would try your husband, your son, or your brother for wearing a uniform. They are the enemy within. If they could, they would try them for crimes against humanity. That's what it has to do with you. So I'm not alone. In fact, I should be very proud that Israeli veterans and I share something in common, which is the United Kingdom. What a sad day it is that a once proud nation has been taken over by such boll weevils. But this is not anything you really want to talk about, you know. What are you going to say that I don't already know? Well, what's going on in the world, huh? You got a lying president and a compliant media. You've got a gangster running the government. Gangster? How can you say gangster? Well, what is a gang? What is a gang? Let's define a gang. Does a gang have to be of a certain race? No. Does a gang have to be wearing a certain color? No. Can a gangster wear a suit and tie? Yes. Can it be a politician? Yes. Can it be a woman? Yes. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Shall I tell you the story of Love by the Sewer Plant? In order to do that, I have to set this up. Play the Shabub Shabub song, I Only Have Eyes For You. I want to go back in time now. And I hope that the girl involved is not listening. I pray to God.
I can't see anyone but
you. We're talking Springland, we're talking, I don't know the town anymore. We're talking Route 42. We're talking 56, 57. We're talking a sewer plant. We're talking about Love by the Sewer Plant. First Love by the Sewer Plant. Now, this girl was so beautiful that the, like, it was like summer stock. Turn that on. They can't listen to me in the music. They got the mood already. We said it. In other words, this is a small hotel, like, you know, nothing fancy. The owner was a former boxer, a pugilist. He was the one where I told you that Jackie, who worked at the hotel, got thrown in the pool. I don't remember the name of the hotel, but he was a tough guy, this guy, genuinely tough guy. And that if he got into an argument with anyone who worked for him, he beat them up and threw them off the property, that type. Everyone was terrified of him. Old school, New York Jewish kind of street fighter type. So he ruled this little hotel that he had like with an iron thumb, iron boot. He was a tough guy, and things ran right. Nothing ever went wrong. No one robbed cutlery. No one talked back. So anyway, I'm a kid. There's a kid there, and boom, it's Love by the Sewer Plant across down the thing in the river by the Neversink River. The water was so cold that when you waded across it, your feet turned blue. I'll tell Love by the Sewer Plant, but starting with the Shabub Shabub again. Now I got time to tell it. Again, they can't find it. Again,
my love must be a kind.
This is unbelievable. I lost my desire to talk already.
I can't see anyone.
On the uptake, they're not. I got a migraine. Just clicked in. Whole right side of the head is out. They don't understand this. How could the audience follow my brain? I got to make them follow. How? Explain to them. All right. Okay, turn it off now. It's 56-57, Plymouth Fury, 59-59. My uncle had a Plymouth Fury, I think. I'm not sure. Somewhere around then. Outside one of the hotels in the Catskill Mountains. I'm still young, 15. I don't know how old I was, something like that. So, fall in love, first love by the sewer plant. Here's how it is. This girl was so stunningly gorgeous, like, just really beautiful, that the theater companies would come through. They had like an entertainment in these hotels, like they call it a casino. At night they'd have entertainment. Sometimes they'd have a comedian who was terrible, a juggler, a balloon man, who then eventually the father of the guy who went on XM or Sirius. His father was a balloon man, allegedly, who went around making pornographic images with balloons, as the son does verbally. Things like that. In other words, schlocky entertainment. So, nevertheless, they thought they were artists. You got to understand that. Even though they were schlocky entertainment, let's say they could paint in velvet paintings, they're still a painter. In their mind, they're Van Gogh. They were theatrical, and everyone else was bourgeois, you know. The other people ate the borscht, and they ate the chave. In other words, they were the artistes, so they understood. So, in other words, some of these entertainers came around, and they looked at this girl, and they came running up. I was holding her hand or walking with her. We were kids, and they said, Manny, I wanted you to see this girl. This is the girl I was telling you about. And they, like, looked at her like she was a specimen of, you know, like biblical beauty. So to make a long story short, it's just young love by the sewer plant. And what I meant was, where are you going to go when you're a kid? You got nowhere to go. So we took a walk down the hill, down the hill, down the hill, down the hill, down the hill. Jack and Jill went down the hill. And it was a long slope down to the Neversink River. And there was a sewer treatment plant, which occasionally, as you well know, with sewer treatment plants, they're not exactly, they don't smell that good. But kids don't care. They can override anything, particularly when the lust hits them. So the two kids walk down the hill, they cross the river, and their feet, they roll up the dungarees, take off the shoes, the legs are blue, and they have a little moment of passion together. And it was his first moment of passion. It was not exactly on the level of a complete moment of passion, but for him it was the first of that type. So now the kid is starstruck and walked like stars in his eyes after that. There were not enough stars in the sky that night, in the black sky and the billions of stars, to equal the passion that he had for the world, where he thought he could literally reach out, grab a star, and fly away. That's how phenomenal he felt as a youngster. But then, of course, as you well know, nothing like that lasts. So what I'm getting at with the story is that it was by a sewer plant, and there's nothing more to it, and boom, and now play some John Coltrane, because there's no more to the story that I care to tell, because if I do, it'll become a pantomime, and I don't want to embarrass myself with a pantomime of something that was quite beautiful. So why don't you play some John Coltrane so they'll understand why it ended that way. Anyway, it just ends abruptly. Good jazz ends abruptly.
Savage.
I had a nutty friend, a real SOB, a piece of garbage. He was a miserable rat, even as a kid, a miserable rat, because he had a crazy mother who was on Benzedrine to lose weight. She went to some crazy doctor in Jersey who put her on speed. She'd come back nuts. I mean, crazy. And she'd drive the pink Cadillac. They had a little more money than everyone else. The father was hardworking. She was a nothing. Always on Benzedrine, and a wacko. She was so crazy that she would take a dog chain, she once did this, and beat herself across the wrists, and they were bleeding. So when the husband came home at night, like from working all day from some delivery route that he owned, he had a franchise, whatever, she came screaming, and she said, Joe, look what your son did to me, look what he did to me. And the father would go upstairs, and he had a fist fight with the son, because the crazy mother said that the son did this to her wrist when she did it herself. Can you believe this kind of situation? So I have no compassion for him. He was a rat before that, and he's still a rat. He's still a no-goodnik. But he was a good friend of mine when I was in the fifth grade, because who knows? You don't know people. And since I was sort of a mischievous child, naturally I sought out the more mischievous of the students, those who fidgeted the most, had the brightest eyes, and never listened to the teacher. They were my kind of people. Today already they put us into Ritalin therapy and turn us into robots. I wouldn't be on the radio today. I'd be like an accountant somewhere in a prison. I'd be counting underwear for a prison somewhere to make sure that the underwear didn't get stolen. But the long and short was, yeah, the crazy mother. That doesn't excuse him for being nuts. As years went on, one of the kids in the neighborhood became a very famous, two of them became famous rock and roll singers, two, out of Queens. I won't mention their names. One had a big hit at 11 or 13 years old. He was always more mature than us. He had, like, women. You know, like, guys at 13, like, the guys with a pompadour, and he had, like, a girlfriend 19. I never understood that. We were still, like, dreaming. This guy had, like, a woman. You know, she was 20. I don't know how they got that. Like, through the music business, they probably gave him a... So he went and did a tour, this musician, in Japan at 14, dropped out of high school. He had one song. It was a huge hit, like 145. I don't remember. It wasn't Run Around Sue, but it was in that genre. So he goes to Japan, a big tour. The Japanese always liked American rock and rollers. Now he comes back. Now it's years later. Now he's on his behind. And he's got nothing. So he becomes a U.S. postman. I swear to God, years later, the same rock and roller who had the Jaguar before anyone could even drive, the blue Jaguar, the cuff that stood out of the jacket, the pompadour, became a postman. There's nothing wrong with being a postman, but, you know, you start out as a rock and roller and you end up as a postman. That's a pretty hard row, you know what I'm saying? It's better to start out as a postman and end up as a rock and roll star. Let me tell you. What'd you say I was going to talk about before I told that story? He had a blue Jaguar, an XK140 MC drophead coupe. To this day, I want that car. I have a Ferrari. I still want that 56 XK140 drophead coupe. So that bad kid, going back now to the bad kid whose mother beat herself on the arm. So we like to go around all over New York by subway, and we were like 12, 13. We went everywhere. 12, 13, 14, Manhattan, Hubert's Flea Circus. Down in the bowels of the basement of the subways, there were guys selling, like, they weren't porno magazines. They were softcore. And you see the old geezers there lining up looking at the magazines. We try to, like, you look at them. Hey, kid, get out of here. Get out of here, kid. Get out of here. You know, that kind of thing. So we used to like to go to Coney Island, and they had exhibits. I don't know how to describe it. They were like mannequins of wax figures. And there were some of them were scary as heck. Well, one of them was of George Metetsky, the mad bomber of the subway. And it was so lifelike. Like, if you were a kid 12 and you had just been on a New York subway car in the heat for an hour and you went out to Coney Island and you stood outside one of those exhibits and you looked in, they showed him like in a jail cell. The guy looked like he was going to come out of the cell and strangle you. Well, adjacent to that mad bomber display, there was another guy. This scared me to this day. I have nightmares about him. It showed a guy, I don't know what he did, dismembered girls or women. I don't remember what he did. He was really bad, this one. And he looked like ordinary Joe, white guy, ordinary guy. And they found him. I remember it was like a mad thing in New York. They didn't know what to do. Girls were being found dismembered. Finally, they tracked this nut down to a chicken farm in New Jersey. I don't remember his name. And he's got like a corpse in a trunk under the bed. I mean, the whole thing, man. So this exhibit in Coney Island of the wax figure shows this guy reconstructed in wax in a little room in the back of a chicken farm with a dismembered girl's body in a trunk, and he's got like blood on his feet with like a blank stare at you, and they show you like the feet and the hands and the blood. It was stuff that today they could never ever show you, but life was richer as a result. For example, they had freak shows in those days. A genuine freak show is not so bad. The freak had a job. If I went to Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey, I didn't go for the horse or the elephant. I went for the freak show in the back. The one-breasted man. The half-bearded woman. The microcephalic. In other words, the people who today became politicians, in my day, they were in the back room of Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey without a Windsor knot. Or in another display, the same people today you might find on CNN or ABC or CBS, you know, after some surgery, they were in the freak show too. You know, half man, half woman, half human, half amoeba. And it was wonderful.
Savage.
Well, I hope you enjoyed a little bit of the blast from the past. Those stories come from Psychological Nudity, many of you, thousands of you. many tens of thousands of you purchased psychological nudity and have enjoyed it. Those stories originated on radio and were then put into the book. And I think that that's the unifying theme of the Savage Nation. You know, I mean, you know where I stand politically, so I can get away with telling you family stories and things like that. I could talk day and night about what's wrong with the country, and you've heard it before, and, you know, you'll hear it again. And I'll do it when I think it's important. I mean, Obama's a liar. He's a laughing stock. We know that. He lied when he said that the health care debates would be on YouTube and, excuse me, on C-SPAN, and they won't even be on YouTube, let alone C-SPAN, because we're living basically in a despotism. This is the mark of a despotic regime that does things in the dark and hides it. So now I'd rather talk about the Wax Museum in New York. Tina in Chicago, welcome. Go ahead. From WIND, the flamethrower in Chicago, what's on your mind?
Well, the reason why I'm calling is that I grew up in Brooklyn. Obviously, my accent is still from there, but I do have to tell you that the...
Yeah, wait. In your case, the word accent should be spelled with A-X-E. I like that.
But I love with the gefilte fish and everything. I'm hysterical driving back from work today.
The word accent takes on a new meaning with you. You're worse than me. So what's on your mind, Tina?
But that's no good. But in any event, the Berg family own the Wax Museum in Coney Island, and I'm only in my mid-40s, so...
You actually knew the people who owned that Wax Museum I was just talking about, where the murderers were shown in wax?
Yes, I did. It was
amazing. I mean, when you're a kid, you don't even know who owns anything. Who the heck was the wax sculptor who made those figures, I'd like to know? You know, I've been in Madame Tussauds in London years ago when I was allowed to go there. They're very well done, but they didn't emote. They didn't create any emotion in me. The Wax Museum in Coney Island at that time was frightening. Where are the wax figures, Tina? Can I buy any of them? Can I buy the wax rendition from the Berg descendants of George Metesky, the mad bomber?
If there's a way that I could get in touch with you off the air, I could get in touch with you.
First of all, I'm sending you a free copy of Psychological Nudity. That's number one. But number two, I'm not kidding. I'd like to buy. I don't want to buy the chicken farm thing. That I could do without. But the Metesky guy, I'd like to buy the wax figure. Where did they end up, a thing like that?
I know that it was the husband's family that did it, if it was the crazy brother that used to do it.
But they always sell off. When they sell something, there's always a buyer for something. Somebody must have bought the wax figures.
I'd have to do some research for you.
Well, because I'll tell you, if I can get George Metesky, the mad bomber, in wax, perhaps Obama can use him with a tape recorder as spokesmouth.
It would be better than him speaking.
It would be better than what we have, the gefilte fish there that he's using.
Oh, and Mother's is another brand, but the Manischewitz, it's 100% with you.
You heard my joke, huh? About I did a comparison shopping last night to find the best lookalike for Gibbs the spokesmouth.
Well, Manischewitz is the main people because I know that the stripes...
All right, Tina, here's what we're going to do. Stay in the line. You ever open up a bottle of the bottled fish? Whew, the stinks that come out of it. You got to be careful. What do you think? They use the best quality of these fishes? These fish they put in the jar. What do you think? They're going to get the highest quality? The whole thing with fish. Lately, I don't know what to do anymore. I mean, I wrote the books on nutrition 30 years ago. And as I get older, I find myself going back to eating horrendous foods. Meat and potatoes are safer. Chicken, meat, and potatoes. Most seafood, I don't know, I'm sorry, is tainted. I mean, you know, the truth is shellfish, a nightmare. I break every time I eat a shrimp now. I turn red. Maybe I have a seafood allergy. And fish is iffy. You know, you got to buy it from the market. In my day, I mean, if you bought fish from a fishmonger, they'd let you smell it. Can you imagine them letting you smell a fish today anywhere? First of all, it's in plastic in a supermarket. Go rip off the cellophane. You'd get arrested for contamination. Where can you even smell a fish? And you look in the cabinets of a fish. Let's say you go to a major market. It's pathetic to look at the fish department. It's like, fish looks old. I don't know. So you go back to meat and potatoes. And you wind up with cholesterol. But at a certain point, it doesn't matter. You're going to die anyway. Yeah, but you don't want to get sick. The trick is to stave off the inevitable as long as you can, particularly debilitating illnesses. You don't want to wind up with like crippled and hobbling. And hang on at the end for 20 more years. Horrible ending. By the way, I put down that book I was reading. Remember I told you in Florida I was reading about Martha Gellhorn, one of Hemingway's wives, and I was enjoying it. But the last 20 pages, 30 pages, when she's going downhill, I found out she committed suicide. I didn't want to read anymore. I didn't want to see it because she didn't want to like face old age, so she killed herself. She was like the classic lib. You know, she was into everything. Hated America, was an expat, didn't believe in God, and ended a life with euthanasia. So what could be better for a liberal to glorify her? Well, he killed himself too, Hemingway. Put a shotgun to the head. Horrible. Horrible. Why do that? You know, suicide is the greatest crime you can commit according to the Bible. That's right. Suicide is the worst crime you can commit because you're committing murder against God's possession. You don't own you. God created you. You're taking his property by committing suicide. If I have to put it in a simplistic way, you're cheating God, you're cheating yourself, but more than that, you're putting a curse upon your family forever. Suicide is something that is never, ever forgotten in the collective memory of a family. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't fall into that liberal trap that it's perfectly fine for you to end your life. The whole West is like on the verge of committing suicide as our wonderful guests are trying to take over the country. The weaklings are dying off. What is it? Glad to hear Savage ate what? Audrey in Santa Maria, what's this? You glad to hear that Savage ate what?
Chicken's feet. Do you remember some time ago you extolled the virtues of chicken feet?
Yes, but I can't find chicken feet. They're not available. You got to go to a Chinese butcher to find them.
Yeah, I know, but I was just thrilled to death to know that a guy of your stature would eat chicken feet.
Yeah, my stature when I was 5, I ate chicken feet because my mother put them in the soup and I got them. Everyone else got the wing. I got the feet. I didn't eat the chicken feet because I liked them. I think they gave everyone else the good part. No, I used to ask for the chicken feet. I loved them. And as I found out years later, recently, because I had an eye thing this year, there is a chemical component found in large quantities in chicken feet that is beneficial for the vitreous humor of the eyes. But I can't get a good chicken foot. Where do you get chicken feet?
When I'm home in Jamaica, I get them. But...
Well, you see, ethnic people eat chicken feet. See, what happens is the higher up the scale of society you go, the worse the food is. You'll notice that the people eat less and less of the authentic parts of food. The higher up the food chain they are in society, the worse they eat. You know that?
True.
No, I don't mean that you have to be like starving and, you know, eating dirt. But poor people actually know what to eat. They eat the organs of the meat. And it goes back to the chicken feet. You mean Jamaicans do eat all of the all parts of the animal, right?
Yeah, we don't eat dogs though. But we do eat all parts of the cow.
No, I know you're not from Korea. I know that. Now, can I send you a post Christmas gift, Audrey? Would you like a present from me?
Oh my goodness, would I be thrilled to death? I have to fight with my husband because he loves Rush Limbaugh. I love Dr. Savage.
Well, there's room for both of us. Audrey, stay on the line. I'm sending you a free copy of Banned in Britain. By the way, I found 400 copies of the first edition, and I have printed a second edition. It has not yet arrived from the publisher. I'm not pushing the book because I'm not going to get rich or poor one way or the other. We have 400 more copies of the rare first edition. You know, it just triggered something to me. I was in Florida, so I found an Irish bar I was going to in a shopping center, a nothing bar, but it was a lot of Irish people there. I'm amazed at it. In the middle of nowhere in a shopping center, there's a Cuban restaurant I would go to. There was an Italian chain restaurant I came to like. And in the back of it, there was an Irish bar out of nowhere, in the middle of nowhere. So I went there once in a while. There was nice music. I would have a beer and leave. But I picked up the Irish newspaper and perused it. And what was I forget? I forget. I don't know. Maybe I need a chicken foot now for the memory. I forgot this story today. I blanked out yesterday on something. The Irish newspaper, I was talking about chicken feet. I don't know what the heck I was talking about. I'm getting tired of it already. Because no matter what I say, it doesn't seem to get through to people. It doesn't seem to get through. We have no two-party system. We have a one-party dictatorship. We have a despotic president. The media is in his pocket. The man gets away with one lie after another, and it's depressing. I'm covering up now because I skipped the beat on that. Who can help me out on this? Where was I going? Beowulf. Beowulf's not here today. He's on vacation this week. Phil. Chicken feet, right? Was I on to chicken feet? chicken feet to the Irish bar and the Irish newspaper. Oh, now I remember. So I know why I couldn't remember, because I had two beers, actually, and I don't remember what I was reading. Now I remember what I was reading. I'm reading through the Irish newspapers, and they show an auction gallery that sold a first edition of one of James Joyce's books for $118,000 in Ireland. It brought at auction, I think at a Christie's auction. It was a 1921 edition, a first edition of one of James Joyce's books. So I said, you know what I should do is I should put that on my website so I can show people that 60, 70, 80 years from now, a first edition of Banned in Britain could be worth $120,000. Could be $10 million in new money by then. If they keep printing it, it could be like your descendants, like traveling, like the Antique Roadshow. Here is the year 2010, and then they figure in the year 2110, Banned in Britain could be worth $2 million. Excuse me, 2 million dinars, pardon me. I'm sorry, the dollar will be gone. Or 2 million yuan. That's all. The dollar's gone. Washington, Jefferson, gone. Gone with the wind. I don't know how we're going to save this country when you got these people in office who are on the take. You know, even the people of Connecticut, as brainless as they are throwing Christopher Dudd out. Even they caught on. I mean, two generations of Christopher Dudd, it's a wonder there's a state left. Christopher Dudd, they call him now. I call him that. Sacramento, Kara, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. I just wanted to let you know, I know you had a call from Chicago already, but Sacramento's listening, and we agree with everything. Well, I agree with everything you say, so there's no reason for us to call.
I know. That's the problem. In order to get good callers and talk radio, you have to say something provocative to provoke a response. But when the audience starts to agree with everything you say, there's no reason to call you, right?
Well, you called us out, and I want to let you know that when I listen to you, I feel so good because I feel like somebody's angry, as angry as I am. You know, it calms
me. I'm not even angry. I'm beyond anger already. I'm beyond anger. What? How can I get angry? What change is going to come from my anger? A change will come from cold, clear logic and this description of what this devil is doing to us in the White House. This is no longer a Democrat. This man is so out of the ken of the Democrat Party that I've said this before, the only people who can save this country are the centrist Democrats. But I don't think they have the brains to even understand how far left Obama and his minions are. I don't think they even understand that their party's been hijacked. Obama is to the Democrat Party what Osama bin Laden is to Islam. How's that? Does that work for you?
I agree.
Now, let me say that again. Let me redefine it in case someone didn't get it right. Write this down and send it to YouTube. Here's what I'm saying. Mainstream Islam is not violent, and the majority of Muslims are as terrified of the extremists as you are. And I've said to you before that more Muslims have been slaughtered by the radical Muslims than have Christians in this century. Algeria, Morocco, you name it. They've killed them by the thousands, trying to convert them into the more radicalized form of Islam. So you say that Islam has been hijacked by Al-Qaeda. And by the radicals. And you're right. But I would say that Obama has radically hijacked the Democrat Party in the same manner. He hasn't yet done everything he would like to do, but he is not a mainstream Democrat. He is not a mainstream liberal. He is a radical. And as a radical, he is the same thing to the Democrat Party as Osama bin Laden is to Islam. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I'm at a strange point in my life. I read that this liberal wacko on radio has a very small audience in MSNBC. They want him to run for the Senate now up in North Dakota, where he's from, some geek state. I'm tossing up politics all of a sudden. I really am. I'm really thinking about it. But I wouldn't want to be a congressman. I would want to start out as a senator. But you see, here's the interesting thing about a congressman is that you can run as a congressman even if you don't live in the district or the state. Did you know that? You could be from another state and run in a congressional district, but you cannot do that as a senator. You have to move there, like Hillary was the carpetbagger. Remember, she moved there for a while with the Chappaquiddick and then became a senator. I'd have to move to another state. I could never win in California. I'd have to figure out which state to move to. I'm not willing to move. I hate moving. I mean, because we got to do something here. We got to do something. I'm toying with it. I know I could win. If I pick the right state and put together the campaign, I could raise an awful lot of money very fast, and I could win. I have the recognition. I have the controversial background necessary to be listened to, and people who've heard things about me that aren't true would listen and decide for themselves. Just the life of a politician, for me, at this stage of my life, I couldn't do it. That's the problem. I'm not into it. I couldn't do it, Al Franken. You know, he's a goofball from the beginning. He was a useless goofball from the beginning. California is such a mess. It's such a horrible state now. It was so beautiful when I moved here. It was destroyed by the liberals. They destroyed it. I don't mind liberals. But you have to have a mixture, a liberal, conservative, and you know, all sorts of sides. You don't have it here. You have a dictatorship of the radical left-wing wackos. In other words, take Nancy Pelosi. That's California today. Then you got the fraud, Schwarzenegger. Remember when he ran for office, I warned you about him? I warned you that this guy was a faker. I warned you, warned you, warned you. The man inherited a budget mess from a radical left-wing governor. And I knew he would make it worse, and he did. None of them will say what needs to be said. Budget mess. $25 billion deficit. They make up the numbers. I could straighten the budget out in about 3 to 6 months. First of all, you cut off all aid to illegal aliens. You close down the emergency room access to illegal aliens. You force illegal aliens to pay back to the state that which they have taken for nothing. Medical care, legal care, housing, you name it. If they don't like it, then they can repatriate themselves to their home country. That's $15 billion right there. I mean, there are many things that can be done. Budget mess. They don't know what to do. How hard is it to figure out? You stop feeding non-citizens who are not paying taxes. You stop supporting them. You don't give them free medical care. They're not entitled to it. A lot of things you could do in the state of California. It's true everywhere. But what, you're going to listen to Schwarzenegger? His wife is a Kennedy liberal. One of the first things Schwarzenegger did was hire the former chief of staff of the former liberal governor. That was the end of the road. He hired a woman named Kennedy, who was a radical left-winger. So I knew the handwriting was on the wall, and the guy is a movie star, an action star. I knew what he was made of. Stupid he isn't, but brilliant he isn't either, believe me. He went very far on his looks and on his bod. But that doesn't make for a politician, by the way. People like to look up to heroes, you know, but there's a difference between a movie hero and a real hero, just as there's a difference between a real leader and a fake leader. Leadership is something entirely different. It's not based upon looks necessarily. It can be based in part upon looks. There's no question looks are a big part of leadership. But at the end of the day, people aren't going to follow you simply because you look good. You got to deliver on the goods. You got to know what you're talking about. And my message is really simple. I haven't changed it in all these years I've been on the radio. Borders, language, culture. That's the campaign I'd run on. You don't like it, don't vote for me. You want secure borders? You want to see English as the only language used in a polling booth and in public offices and no press two for Spanish? Vote for me. And what do I mean by culture? The founding documents of this nation. That's what I mean by culture. You don't like it? Move to Kyrgyzstan. Move to Weirdoistan. Borders, language, culture. I'm Michael Savage, and I'm running for blank. I mean, I know I win. I know I win. Maybe that's what I need right now in my phase, you know, to get away from the crooks in the business of the arts, the thieves and the crooks. You know what I mean, the publishers who robbed me all those years and the people like them who live off talented people.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Listen up. headlines from thesavage.com. Well, Senator Dudd is out. You know who Senator Dudd is. You knew him as Chris Dodd of Connecticut. We've affectionately named him Senator Chris Dudd. He said that he's leaving. He's not going to run again. Now, he didn't do it out of the kindness of his heart. The fact of the matter is his poll numbers are in the toilet, and the Dems have moved him out of the way for fear that a Republican would take over that Senate seat, and they're going to run a more centrist Democrat, the current attorney general, who's likely to win. So that's what it's about. Then, of course, there's Brian Dorgan of North Dakota who's leaving. And you got to see the clips on michaelsavage.com of Obama promising to televise health care talks. He said, one of my jobs as president will be to guide this process. This is from Breitbart. Oh, sure, he promised he's going to televise health care talks. But if Americans actually saw this nation being transformed before their eyes into a socialist nation live on TV, perhaps even they would wake up to the truth. United pilot admits to being drunk. That's right. You got to take a look at the picture on michaelsavage.com. A United Airlines pilot who was pulled off his transatlantic flight to Chicago just before takeoff has admitted being above the alcohol limit for flying a plane. I mean, some pilots are heroes like Sully Sullenberger. Others just sully their reputations. Want to take a guess why this pilot's disgrace didn't make it to your local newspaper? Check out his picture at michaelsavage.com. From the LA Times, male prostitution is Nevada's newest legal profession. After months of debate in the state's surprisingly squeamish brothel community, Nye County officials agree to let Shady Lake Ranch near Death Valley hire men. So, do you think we need more evidence that we're living in the last days of the Roman Empire? Well, go watch Fellini's Satyricon. There's another story that's sad but worth looking at from the New York Post, and that's Casey's grim final days. That's Johnson & Johnson heiress Casey Johnson, who spent the last months of her life in a suicidal drug haze, living in squalor in a rented apartment, no electricity, no running water, with rats in the swimming pool. It's very sad. The media hates to make soldiers into heroes, but it loves rich liberal junkies who destroy their lives. They get the features. From the Conservative News Service, the Inspector General of the DHS, that's of their own company, DHS, says that DHS cannot do its job. That's right. The Homeland Security Department's National Operations Center says it is functional only in name. That's what you get with a Homeland Security Secretary who can't do a job and is more interested in looking tough than in being tough on terrorists. Now, here's a scary one, really, from the Idaho Statesman. The governor of Idaho says God's help is needed to save the Constitution. He may be listening to the Savage Nation. He said, quote, to think that we can save the Constitution without God's help when the government of the United States is corrupt is absurdity. I think he's listening to the Savage Nation, don't you? New York Daily News, security for 9/11 terrorist trials to cost $200 million a year. Did you hear that? Let me repeat it. The New York Police Department's newly revised projection is almost triple the estimate that Obama gave in November of $75 million in additional security costs to bring these lowlifes to New York for trial. So Obama brings terrorists to the U.S., giving them a chance to take more American lives. He gives them a platform to spread their hate. And he hands the American taxpayer a $200 million bill for it. That's liberalism for you, the mental disorder. Here's another one. U.S. is offering diversity visas in terror-ridden Yemen. That's right. The State Department has awarded 1,011 special so-called diversity visas, allowing Yemeni nationals to immigrate to the United States since the year 2000. Now, I've told you for years that diversity is perversity. Now it looks like diversity is death. Maybe the State Department can provide the Yemeni nationals with complimentary C4 and underwear pouches before they get on a plane to America. That would be diverse and sensitive. Here's a terrifying report out of the Catholic World News on michaelsavage.com. You're not going to believe this, but Czech Cardinal warns Muslims are conquering Europe. Cardinal Miloslav Vlik has warned in an interview that, quote, if Europe doesn't change its relation to its own roots, it will be Islamicized. I guess there are still a few Catholics willing to stand up against the destruction of an entire nation, an entire people, an entire religion. That's correct. All on MichaelSavage.com. Don't miss it. Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid have decreed that the health care negotiations are going to be conducted behind closed doors. Yet during the campaign, Obama promised that everything would be transparent. He lied.
These negotiations will be on C-SPAN. And so the public will be part of the conversation and will see the choices that are being made.
Not negotiating behind closed doors, but bringing all parties together and broadcasting those negotiations on C-SPAN so that the American people can see what the choices are.
We'll have the negotiations televised on C-SPAN so that people can see who is making arguments on behalf of their constituents and who are making arguments on behalf of the drug companies or the insurance companies.
We will work on this process publicly. It'll be on C-SPAN. It will be streaming over the net.
We're going to do all these negotiations on C-SPAN. So the American people will be able to watch these negotiations.
And we will have a public process for forming this plan. It'll be televised on C-SPAN. I can't guarantee it'll be exciting, so not everybody is going to be watching.
But I want the negotiations to be taking place on C-SPAN.
All this will be done on C-SPAN, in front of the public.
And one of my jobs as the president will be to guide this process so that it's an honest process.
Yeah, of course. To Nancy Pelosi, everything is proceeding on schedule.
We're very pleased that our conversations continue with our counterparts in the Senate. At the leadership level, at the committee level, and at the staff level, and are optimistic that there's much that we have in common in both of our bills and that we will resolve or reconcile this legislation in a way that is a AAA rating, affordability for the middle class, accountability for the insurance companies, and accessibility to many more people in our country to quality, affordable health care. We are particularly delighted with the leadership of the President of the United States. Without his leadership, without his vision, without his encouragement, we would not be right on the verge right now of passing this historic legislation, which will be placed, I think, in its rightful place alongside Social Security, Medicare, and now health care for all Americans.
Yep, there's the kind of leadership Obama's providing.
I've spoken to the Attorney General, and we've agreed that we will not be transferring additional detainees back to Yemen at this time. But make no mistake, we will close Guantanamo Prison, which has damaged our national security interests and become a tremendous recruiting tool for al-Qaeda. In fact, that was an explicit rationale for the formation of al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. And as I've always said, we will do so. We will close the prison in a manner that keeps the American people safe and secure.
Oh, schmuck. Schmuck!
Savage.
We need our intelligence, homeland security, and law enforcement systems, and the people in them to be accountable and to work as intended, collecting, sharing, integrating, analyzing, and acting on intelligence as quickly and effectively as possible to save innocent lives. Not just most of the time, but all of the time. That's what the American people deserve. As president, that's exactly what I will demand.
The attempted terror attack on Christmas Day by the diaper bomber just shows you how vulnerable we are under the Obama administration. Obama said he would hold people accountable, but nothing has been done. Joining us now is national security reporter and terror expert Audrey Hudson. Audrey, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on.
The general feeling is that Napolitano is not the person for this job, and she needs to resign or be fired. How do you see this?
Well, what's interesting is that you don't see Napolitano in the headlights right now, in the spotlight. Who you're seeing is the president, and if you watched his meeting with his heads of government, Napolitano was tucked way back there in the corner, and didn't seem to be getting the president's ear. But you know, for her to come out immediately and to say that the system worked was clearly just an outrageous statement, and she's not been able to successfully backpedal since then. And now what you've got is the President of the United States on Thursday himself will come out and announce new airline security plans. I mean, since when has it been the president's responsibility to tell us whether we can take our shampoo or our conditioner or our night cream onto the airplanes, or whether we're going to have to take off our shoes or our coat? I mean, that's what it's come down to, is that now it's the president and the White House who are speaking on what's going to happen on Homeland Security, and she seems to have been relegated to a backseat role. I mean, she's basically disappeared from the spotlight.
Well, do you think this is a sign of things to come?
There have been a lot of calls for her resignation. She wasn't real popular to begin with in Washington, and this hasn't helped a whole lot. But, you know, the president has now, you know, basically they're not going to hold anyone responsible as far as forcing their resignation. So we'll see if she can handle the heat from Congress. That's going to be the main sticking point right there. That's where you'll see if there's a lot of calls for her to resign on the Democratic side of the aisle, then I think the president will be forced to ask her to stand down.
What kinds of reactions have you seen from Congress?
Interestingly, the reaction to a near terrorist attack on Christmas Day did not come until Tuesday of this week, when the president met with his department heads, with his security team. I mean, 10 days have passed before you see any real action, and that's very unusual. And the action that we're going to hear about is going to be more screening, and who knows what that means? Remove your hat. There's not a whole lot else to remove except for your underwear. And in this case, they may ask us to remove our underwear.
What do you think is going to happen? More window dressing?
Honestly, mostly what we do see in Washington is window dressing and a lot of bureau speak. So we'll be interested to see on Thursday when the president announces his new security initiative if it's really effective at all. I mean, you could hear calls for Congress to provide more money for new technology. And that's always the battle cry in Washington, is we need more money, more money, more money. So you'll probably hear, well, what we need is more money. We need more technology and probably not a whole lot of changes. I wouldn't be surprised if all we hear is that we need more money. You know, if the call is what we need is more money, I think what they need to keep in mind is that the only thing that prevented this terrorist attack and from 300 people getting blown up on Christmas Day was a few alert airline passengers. Now, are billions of dollars in new government spending going to replace that? No.
Look, you've covered national security for some time. How do you feel it is being run?
Michael, the one thing that has really surprised me, the one thing we're not hearing about, if you recall, a few days after the Christmas incident, there was another incident on this exact same flight where a passenger locked himself in the bathroom for an hour. And we did not have an air marshal on the Christmas flight. And what just astounds me is that after that incident, they still didn't put an air marshal on that flight, and you had a passenger locking himself in the bathroom for an hour. Now, the Federal Air Marshal Service years ago stepped up all of their coverage on overseas flights. As a matter of fact, that's practically all they do anymore, are cover overseas flights. And as I reported the day after Christmas, the Federal Air Marshal Service cut back on their flights from Amsterdam because it cost a lot of money. So they cut out about 60% of their flights to Amsterdam and Frankfurt. In the wake of this incident on Christmas Day, they still didn't put an air marshal on that flight, and we had another incident. One thing they need to do is they need to beef up security. Yeah, they probably should look at new technology, and yeah, maybe they need a few more machines, but that's security that's months and years down the road, and what they can do tomorrow, what they can do today, what they can do in the next 5 minutes, just put an air marshal on the flight.
Do you think that will happen?
Well, they said they were going to put more air marshals on the overseas flights, but we've yet to see if that's actually happened.
But what can we, the people, really do?
The thing about this whole incident is that one of the solutions is so very elementary, and that's that passengers, the public, everybody, you know, to coin a cliche, has to be aware, of their surroundings. That's what worked in this incident. Everything else failed. Security failed. Screening failed. The entire system failed, except that the passengers were paying attention, and they took the guy out. The guy tackled him, you know, got burned himself. And you know, fortunately or unfortunately, that's what has to continue. The public just has to be aware when they're flying. They can't just kick back in their seats and put their earphones on and go to sleep anymore. They've got to be aware of their surroundings.
You have a new book coming out. What's it about, Audrey?
My new book comes out on Monday that I co-authored with Roy Hallams. It's Mr. Hallams' story of how he was kidnapped and held hostage in Iraq before he was rescued by special forces. Retired Naval Commander Hallams has an amazing story that we've been writing for the last couple of years. And like I said, it comes out on Monday, published by Thomas Nelson. You're familiar with that publishing house, and I'm very excited. It will be available through all the usual suspects, major booksellers, Walmart, and online at Amazon.
Audrey Hudson, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael.
MichaelSavage.com. It's one man's opinion. Don't take it too seriously. It's only the truth. And I realize that the truth is of no value to most of you. You want to hear what you want to hear, many of you. And some of you really want to hear what I really think. If I could throw a joke in now and again, fine.
Savage.
When Congress first started the health care debate, there were town hall meetings and there were tea parties filled with thousands of people voicing their opinions against the government control of our health care. So how does Congress deal with this? Why they try to pass it through in the middle of the night, in secret, no debates. Joining us now from the Heritage Foundation to talk about this banana republicanization of America under Obama is Brian Darling.
Thanks, Mike, for having me on.
Brian, what do you think they're doing here?
Yeah, I call this the House's secret plan to pass Obamacare, because what they're doing is they're crafting yet another version of Obamacare in secret. They're not allowing the American people to participate. They're kicking Republicans out of the room. This violates all of the promises made by the Obama administration to allow cameras in to watch all the negotiations on C-SPAN. It violates House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid's promises to have an open and transparent process in Congress. They're kicking everybody out. They're violating the spirit of the Constitution, which allows for participatory democracy. It allows the American people to see what's going on. So right now, they're behind closed doors crafting yet another version of Obamacare that they'll spring on the American people at the last possible moment and expect them to understand a very complicated piece of legislation in a very short period of time.
But what's the normal procedure?
Well, under normal circumstances, what would happen is that the House and the Senate would convene what is called a conference committee. Basically, you'd have leaders of both the Republican and Democrat parties from both the House and the Senate get together in a room, figure out in one piece of legislation, and both the House and the Senate would have to pass that identical legislation. But they're not using that procedure here. That procedure, under the using a conference committee procedure, they'd have cameras in the room, there'd be votes, Republicans would be allowed to debate. They don't want that to happen. They want to go completely secret. And what is happening is the House is taking up the bill that passed the Senate. They're going to craft it in secret. They're going to bring it to the House floor. They're going to have an amendment that they're going to spring on the House and the American people at the last possible moment. And the House will vote on the amendment to the Senate bill, and they will pass it and send it back over to the Senate. It's called a ping pong because basically the bill will go from the House to the Senate from the Senate to the House, then back from the House to the Senate, back and forth, until one chamber just takes up the bill as is and passes it. It's a very complicated procedure, and it's purposefully complicated so the American people can't understand what's going on in Washington, D.C.
This is not the way it's supposed to go.
No, this is not the way you learned it in high school civics class. It's not the way that the American people were taught that the federal government's supposed to work. Under normal circumstances, the House will pass a piece of legislation, the Senate will pass a piece of legislation, they'll have a traditional conference committee, it'll go to the president's desk. But all of this that's being done right now with Obamacare is all in secret. You have to remember how this has played out. Initially, Nancy Pelosi rolled out her version of Obamacare. The American people were upset. They read the bill. They didn't like the bill. They showed up at town hall meetings and yelled at their members of Congress, pleading with them, please don't move forward with this unpopular piece of legislation. We don't like it. Well, the House ended up moving forward anyways after the president gave a speech to Congress. They passed a bill. When it came over to the Senate learned its lesson. They did all of their negotiations in secret. They did not allow the American people, or Republicans for that matter, to see the bill until the last possible moment. They railroaded it through the Senate by buying votes with earmarks and putting in other special interest projects. And now we're at the phase where they're refusing to have a traditional conference committee so they can hide it again. They're going back behind closed doors. President Obama, Speaker Pelosi, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid are all in closed door meetings trying to figure out what to put in this bill to get it passed again. But it's not being done in the open. It's not transparent. And the American people need not apply because they're not invited to witness this.
Well, why all the secrecy?
They are being secret for one reason and one reason only. It's because they know the American people absolutely hate this proposal. The American people, we've looked at the polling. The polling indicates that the American people dislike this Obamacare proposal. Members of Congress that have supported this Obamacare proposal have taken a beating at the polls. You see a lot of members who are in cycle right now in the Senate. You have Blanche Lincoln of Arkansas. You have Senator Harry Reid of Nevada. Two politicians in the Senate right now who are up for re-election whose poll numbers are really low, and one of the reasons is Obamacare. So they've gone in secret so they can craft a secret deal and get it passed as quickly as possible, because we have the president's State of the Union coming up either later this month or early in February, and what they want to do is get it passed very quickly, don't let the American people participate and get angry about it, so they can get it over with and try and put it in the past.
What can people do?
Well, the American people have been cut out of the process, but they're still, whether you're for or against the bill or don't care about the bill, the American people have a right to still participate in what's happening. They need to talk to their members of Congress so they can understand what's going to happen to their health care system. Every American is affected by health care reform. Every American has a right to participate in this process and have their voice heard. So it's important for the American people to stay involved. It's their constitutional right and duty to stay involved. And I think some elites in Washington, D.C. feel that the only participation that the American people should have is when they vote every 2 years, and that's it. And that's not the truth. The Constitution says differently. It says that the American people have the right to petition their government for redress of grievances. Now, could this break down? The only way this breaks down if Democrats can't get their act together and can't pass an identical bill through the House and the Senate. It's still possible. The House bill is very much more liberal than the Senate bill. There is not much agreement between Pelosi and Reid on what's going to be in the final package. So maybe there'll be a breakdown at that point. Or maybe at some point these politicians will listen to their constituents, wake up and realize that they don't want to commit political suicide and move forward with a bill that may end their careers.
Do you think this will pass?
Unfortunately, there have been so many secret deals cut. We saw the Nebraska Cornhusker deal to help out the state of Nebraska pay for its Medicare funding. And what did that do? It bought a vote. It bought Senator Ben Nelson of Nebraska's vote. So it seems that these elites in Washington are predisposed to try and buy votes. They're ready to put earmarks in bills to make sure that they get just enough votes to pass it in the House and the Senate. So what we can expect is more vote buying, more earmarks, more secret deals. So I do expect this to pass because the American people have been cut out of the process. I mean, if these politicians were listening to their constituents, this bill wouldn't have a chance in hell of passing, because no politician in their right mind would vote for a bill that's so wildly unpopular. But clearly, many of these elites are ignoring their constituents. They care more what the president thinks about them. They care more about what members of their chamber think about them than they do their constituents, which is sad. But I would expect this bill is going to pass. It's reasonably close to passage right now. They just have one or two more hurdles to get it to the president's desk. So unfortunately, the system has been gamed to the point where it looks like this bill is very close to the finish line.
If this does pass, well, what then?
Well, there will be calls right after this bill is signed into law to repeal the whole piece of legislation and the whole new law that establishes Obamacare. So I would expect Congress to Republicans in Congress to move forward very quickly with an effort to repeal the bill in an effort to push, get more members of Congress that are sympathetic to the fact that this is an awful bill, whether they be Democrats or Republicans, to come in and repeal it. That's phase one. Also, you're going to see court challenges. The state of Florida Attorney General, the South Carolina Attorney General are all already preparing constitutional challenges to this legislation. There are so many special interest projects. There are mandates on states that violate the state's 10th Amendment rights. And there are also the individual mandates, a big issue for many states, because the federal government is trying to tell citizens of different states that they have to buy a product mandated by the federal government. That's never happened before. That's completely outside the scope of what our founding fathers thought the federal government should do, so it's unconstitutional. So we will see many constitutional challenges to this bill. We'll see Congress try and repeal this bill in the future. There are going to be many challenges once this bill is signed into law. The battle isn't over yet.
Brian Darling, thanks again for being on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Here's a roundup of newspapers around the country and around the world, right here on Michael Savage, the radio show for all of America. BBC says British MPs urge a 70 million person population cap for the United Kingdom. Call to restrict immigration. Providence Journal. North Kingston student takes on national debt with bake sale. Good God. San Francisco Chronicle, creating a vast protected area for leatherback turtles. 70,000 square miles of ocean as critical habitat. Good idea. I think we need a protected area for Christians in San Francisco. New Jersey Star Ledger, $1.1 million deal struck to save endangered bog turtles habitat. Good idea again. Perhaps they can use some stimulus money to save religious people from the onslaught. Boston Globe National Park Service, Nantucket Sound eligible for listing as a National Historic Site. Could hold fishing, ferries, wind farm plans. But of course it will be very good for the libs who gather there every summer. Providence Journal, Block Island residents speak out on wind farm proposal. Oh, not in my backyard. Washington Post, Obama announcing $250 million public-private effort to improve science and math instruction. Nothing wrong with that. How many kids do you think will actually learn anything more from it? New York Times, for Obama, his promise to trim the deficit is growing harder to keep. Well, of course, when you lie, of course it's hard to keep it. Fox News, Michigan high school students in trouble for offensive Twin Towers shirts. The design evokes the terrorist attacks. Can't remind America about that. Washington Times, opponents of same-sex marriage slam plans to televise Prop 8 trial. Conservatives fear witnesses will be harassed. Well, that's the object, isn't it? New York Times, Iran is shielding its nuclear efforts in a maze of tunnels. Duh, ho-hum. Do something about it. It's called bunker-busting bombs. Use them. Washington Post, at the United Nations, China insists it's not the right time for sanctions on Iran. Huh. And you thought they were your friends. Wash Times, Chinese companies evade U.S. sanctions. No kidding. Here's a sad one. Fox News, American mom and baby trampled and killed by an elephant in Kenya. Oh, my God. Fox News, authorities suspect $30 million Florida lottery winner was killed. Boston Globe, New Hampshire murder suspect talked of his longtime desire to kill. Documents show grisly details. Don't read them. USA Today study says that the antidepressant lift many of you experience may all be in your head. Arizona Republic, migrant issue could haunt McCain in race. What they mean is his support for illegal aliens could see him selling shoes in Tibet. Denver Post, homicide linked to medical marijuana. Shooting followed transaction gone wrong. In Sweden, bracing for record low Siberian chill. Al Gore anywhere, minus 44 degrees Celsius, nowhere to be found. And those are the wrap-ups. Those are the topics. Those are the headlines from the newspapers around the nation and around the world right here on the Savage Nation. you know, ClimateGate exposed the fraud that it was, the rigged up trick data that never was. And now we have the most ferocious winter in 30 years. We're entering like a mini ice age right now. And the schmucks are pushing global warming and cap and trade taxes. And none of the average person doesn't know. Let's go to New York City. Sal, WOR, go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. We've led such a similar academic life, at least an undergrad academic life. I can relate so much to what you're saying. The first class I ever took for my science requirement was meteorology.
Mm-hmm.
And the gentleman who taught the class, it was actually in a community school also. My first term was only in a community school. And
right.
The meteorology professor said a lot of things that made sense, and this was my freshman year. Remember the aerosol debate from like 20 years ago, that aerosols were problematic?
Yes, 20 years ago, all the communists were saying that, that's right, those aerosol cans were going to destroy the ozone, that's right.
In a way, like in the 60s, we were going to run out of food in space.
That's right, and the population bomb written by that crackpot, Ehrlich, who I think still, unless he's passed on and crossed the River Styx, I think he still has tenure at Stanford with that lying book that we should be limited in the number of children we have.
I challenge because I transferred to school in the Midwest, a very liberal city, and then I ended up living in Tivoli, New York, where Bard College is for quite some time. And so I've been around a lot of the academic types, and that class always comes back to me when the global warming debate happened, because during the northern summer, the sun shines on the ozone layer 24 hours a day every day. In the southern summer, 24 hours a day on the South Pole. No break, no nighttime. So if there ever was a hole in the ozone layer, which was another argument that came out, it's more than likely the product of the pounding of the sun.
Well, do you remember the acid rain scare of the 1980s? That all the forests of the north were going to disappear because of acid rain caused by pollution? Remember that lie? Where'd that go?
Well, I mean, a great deal of infectious disease comes out of the rainforest, from what I understand as well. If it was being cut down, you know, you could even make a rationalization for it. But the argument was that would cause the...
I never heard that one. In other words, clear the tropical forest to get rid of the mosquitoes. I wouldn't go along with that. I would not say that we should agriculturally devastate the tropical jungles or rainforests in order to put in cornfields. So don't push me there, because I actually have collected plants in so-called rainforests for many, many years, and my collections are in some of the world's greatest herbaria, and there are so many valuable plants in these forests. You certainly don't want to devastate the ecosystem in that regard. But that's not the same thing as going to the other extreme and arguing that we have a climate caused by man's industrialization. The only solution is to turn the world over to buffoons like Chavez. Look, Sal, you don't have to have gone past the sixth grade to understand that global warming is, if at all occurring, and it's debatable as to whether it's occurring at all, is occurring as a result of man's activities. And how much further do you have to go than looking at the ice ages? How many times have I said this on the show now for well over a year? Where did the previous six or seven ice ages go prior to industrialization? What caused the glaciers to recede then? It certainly couldn't have been mankind, because man was not industrialized. So it was factors outside the earth, meaning outside of man's control, meaning sunspots, volcanic eruption. Whatever the theories are, they are greater than man's activities. But Sal, having said that, I'm one of the few people who's actually worked on behalf of the environment. I've given a lot of my life to rescue environments in some of the most fragile areas on earth. And I can tell you, as an inveterate plant collector of some of the rarest botanical specimens on earth, there is no man-caused global warming. I'm actually a trained scientist. I am telling you, they're full of crap. Most of them are going to make millions and millions of dollars in grants, and they're going to continue to line their pockets on this giant fraud called climate change, which used to be known as global warming. And to see Junior Doc Obama flying into Copenhagen in the middle of a snowstorm is almost laughable. And I will say again that I believe that there is greater voter remorse today after 1 year in office than any president in American history. I also want to tell you, I saw one of the worst movies of my life, which I give not only a thumbs down, It's one of the worst films ever made in American history. It's called Public Enemies, with Johnny Depp, who is possibly one of the worst actors ever to hit the American screen, at least in his current format. He should stick to Pirates of whatever. And Christian Bale, who should be ashamed of himself, and a woman I never heard of named Marion Cotillard. Michael Mann, I don't know who he is. I think he used to do Miami Vice. A piece of garbage. Now, not only was the movie impossible to understand, but it glorified one of the worst white trash murderers in history named Dillinger. Why they would spend so much money to glorify a murderer is not beyond me. I understand the sick mind of liberals in Hollywood. Believe me, don't get me wrong. This guy, Michael Mann, whoever he is, the TV director who became a movie director, whatever, the guy has some, obviously, talent, or he wouldn't be in the movie business. What if he had done a movie about James Doolittle? What if he had done a movie about an American war hero? What if he had done a movie about General MacArthur? What if he had done a movie about somebody with the guts to kill the enemy, but for the sake of protecting the country, instead of some white trash bank robber who just beats up cops and kills them? The worst movie I've ever seen, glorifying scum, Public Enemies. Don't buy it. Don't buy the DVD.
Savage.